At this time, we have permits over or projects over $500,000 with no objection and staff recommendation for approval. Good morning, Mr. Watkinson.
Yes, sir. Mr. Bowman. This morning, I'd like to do something a little bit different than normal. We have two items on your agenda. I'd like to go through the first two and request your approval of those. The third item is the City of Norfolk. It's a very large project, resiliency in nature. I think it's a glimpse of what the future holds for resiliency, especially in urban areas and throughout the state and possibly along the East Coast. A lot of community involvement in the project. So we'd like to have the city and their consultant give you a few-minute overview of the nature of that project just because of the scope and scale and the magnitude and what it means for the future, and then have you vote on it as well. So with that said, I'd like to go ahead and read the descriptions for item A and B for your consideration. Item 2A, the Virginia Electric and Power Company requests authorization to replace 9 existing transmission line support structures and 1.7 miles of transmission line, requiring 15 aerial crossings of approximately 2,286 linear feet of state-owned subaqueous bottom, 8 temporary crossings for construction access involving 235 linear feet of submerged land, and 78 square feet of submerged lands for 1 tower replacement to facilitate construction of the Line 224 Pamunkey River Rebuild Project in New Kent and King William counties. In this case, we're recommending approval with our standard in-stream work permit conditions and a February 15 through June 30 in-stream work time of year restriction of any given year to protect anadromous fishes. Additionally, staff recommends an encroachment royalty of $7,014 for the encroachment of the line across 2,286 linear feet of state-owned subaqueous land and the tower over 78 square feet of submerged land. Item 2B, Virginia Electric and Power Company, is requesting authorization to replace 7 existing transmission line support structures and 1.3 miles of transmission line, requiring 6 aerial crossings of approximately 1,473 linear feet of state-owned subaqueous bottom, 6 temporary crossings for construction access involving 54 linear feet of submerged land and 470 square feet of submerged lands for 1 tower replacement. And this is to facilitate the construction of the Line 224 Mattapani River Rebuild Project in King William and King and Queen counties. We also recommend an approval with our standard in-stream work permit conditions and a February 15th through June 30th in-stream work time of year restriction of any given year to protect anadromous fishes. And additionally, staff recommends an encroachment royalty of $5,359 for the encroachment of the lines over 1,473 linear feet of state-owned subaqueous land and the tower over 470 square feet of submerged lands. With that, I'll be happy to try and answer any questions you might have.
Any questions by members of the commission from Mr. Watkinson? Thank you, Tony. This is a public hearing. Is the applicant present or wish to address the commission? Okay. Is there anyone here in support of the project other than the applicant? Anyone here in opposition to the project? There being none, the matter is before the commission for action. Mr. France?
Yes, I would move to approve items A and B, page 2 items.
Okay. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Second by Mr. Miner. Excuse me. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Tony. We'll proceed on to item C.
Let me read the item, or the agenda item for C, and then we'll ask the city and their consultant from BHB to come up and give you a little bit of overview. This is the City of Norfolk, and they're requesting authorization to conduct a community-wide coastal resiliency project involving the Chesterfield Heights and Granby Village communities, which will impact submerged lands by the construction of earthen berms, riprap revetments, and living shorelines extending along 5,500 linear feet of the eastern branch of the Elizabeth River and Ohio Creek shorelines, and extending a maximum of 65 feet channeled of the mean low water line, including oyster habitat restoration along the eastern branch of the Elizabeth River and a tide gate and pump system within Haynes Creek in the City of Norfolk. With that, we have representatives from the city and representative of their consultant to give you a bit of a more overview of the project. And as I said, this is a very large resiliency project. It was a result of a very large HUD grant in the order of $100 million.
Okay.
That the state won at a national level to get this project. And with that, we'll hear from the city and the consultant.
Okay. Gentlemen, since this is a public hearing, would you please stand, raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony that you give today to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Thank you very much. Who's first?
Good morning. My name is Scott Smith. I'm the Coastal Resiliency Manager for the City of Norfolk and the Project Manager for the Ohio Creek Project. So the Commonwealth applied for this HUD grant back in 2015. We were awarded in 2016. The Commonwealth was awarded $120 million. $115 was slated for the Ohio Creek Project, of which Norfolk received $112 million approximately. Since that time, since 2016, we've been working with the community and our consultants to develop the project. We've had over 35 public meetings, public engagement meetings with the community at each step through the project, getting feedback from them, making sure we're addressing the concerns of the community. We've been very engaged with them, soliciting input from the community. This is important to the city. We recognize the impacts of sea level rise, climate change, and how it's affecting our city. And we look at this as being a wonderful project to be a test bed for coastal resiliency in the region and looking at methods of protecting the community from coastal storms in the future. So we welcome the commission's input on the project. With that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Reynolds.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Just give you a high-level overview.
Could you state your name for the record, please?
Sorry, Neville Reynolds.
Thank you, Mr. Reynolds. Yes, sir.
So this is the Chesterfield Heights community that you see here. You notice the industrial sites on either end of the project. This is the eastern branch of the Elizabeth River. As Tony said, quad sheet, just to give you some reference, I-264 bounds the project on the north, and Campostello Bridge crosses the eastern branch right at the western boundary of the property. Kind of a high-level view, just again, you can see the industrial character of the community in this location, and also on the western end. This is Granville Village, which is an NRHA project that's being done, part of the community. This is the Chesterfield Heights community. Draw your attention to a couple other important elements. This is Kimball Terrace. This road floods quite frequently during major storm surge and rainfall events. And you also have a federal channel in this location here. I note there's a Baylor bed in this location. And also an Elizabeth River Project oyster bed in this location. So the primary purpose of these projects is to create a coastal community capable of resisting increased risk of flooding. That's both due to storm surge and from rainfall, which the solutions to those problems can often be in conflict. Secondary purpose, to support economic opportunity by advancing efforts to improve existing industrial operations, primarily through increased access, and advanced opportunities to connect communities, decentralize poverty, and strengthen neighborhoods, using the improvements to the infrastructure in the community to really upgrade the community, improve the aesthetics, and improve the just the character and the livability of the neighborhood. This is a graphic that shows future flooding potential. This is a graphic that shows the flooding under the 10, 50, 100-year, and 500-year storm events with a 2.5-foot sea level rise imposed on it. So this would be approximately the year 2065, which is the design year for the project. You can see much of the community is inundated by the blue under the 10-year storm event. And just some major features within the community. You see the green areas are existing wetlands in Ohio Creek. And these wetlands, as you'll see some pictures, are fragmented wetlands. A very urbanized area. There's a lot of filling that's gone on over the year, various different types of attempts to stabilize the shoreline. This is Haynes Creek in this location, more of a continuous wetland system. And then again, around the Elizabeth River shoreline, you have a very fragmented, hesitate to even call it a fringe, but sparse-edged vegetation along this area, and then a more well-established but eroding shoreline, marsh shoreline along the western portion of the property. This section of the property, black, is also a historic district. Chesterfield Heights Historic District is on the National Register. So some of the primary components of the project, this is Kimball Terrace that I drew your attention to earlier. This is the existing alignment. Kimball Terrace will be relocated so that this road does not now go through an industrial site. This is the Titan Cement, Roanoke Cement facility. It will be moved and raised to increase accessibility into the community during major storm events. There's a perimeter berm feature that goes on the shoreline of Ohio Creek and around the entire perimeter of Chesterfield Heights along this alignment. There are three wetland creation areas in here where upland areas that are degraded will be graded down to create tidal wetlands. There's a tide gate located here at the mouth of Haynes Creek, which will allow stormwater to be held within Haynes Creek during major storm events. The tide gate serves to cut off the storm surge from flooding the area. It also allowed us to create a smaller berm feature along the perimeter of Haynes Creek, so there was no encroachment or no taking of homes necessary. With that stormwater flow that will go into Haynes Creek, there's a pump station located here, another pump station located at this area, which will allow the new drainage system that will go into the whole community, allow it to be pumped out during major storm events. The perimeter berm obviously limits the ability to stormwater to run out of the community, so it has to be pumped out. there are street interventions that will be put in at each intersection. These are also stormwater management, green infrastructure type intersections to improve the aesthetic of the community, but also serve a purpose of storing stormwater and bioretention areas. And then there are also open space improvements, in particular Grandy Village Stormwater Park. This area will be improved with ball fields. This is a restored tidal wetland that will be further extended into its former drainage basin, and this will be a wetland system that holds stormwater and also allows the community to come in and observe many of these techniques. More of a close-up version, again, you see the tide gate, the flood wall in front of the industrial facility, living shoreline along the edge of the eastern branch, and community pier. That was one of the comments that came up in the public meetings, was the lack of access to the water, so this is a community pier, and you see the street interventions at the intersections. So the primary component of the project that you all are authorizing is the living shoreline. And we have several treatment areas. We have a sheltered cove that is an example of that, is in the upper reaches of Haynes Creek, and you can see here that sand fill will be put in front of the berm and planted with wetland vegetation. As we move around the edge, there's a constriction at this location and industrial activity, barge activity to the west, so revetment was the appropriate method for shoreline treatment here. And back to a living shoreline with shore protection in the form of stone sills. And the idea here is to create a resilient surface, a gradual transitional edge in this location This allows for sea level rise and upwind migration or inland migration of the wetland communities that will be planted here, and then kind of a secondary last line of defense at the slope break between the living shoreline planting terrace and the top of the berm. And then further to the west, where there's existing marsh, shore protection will be put in at the channelward edge of the existing marsh to sustain it with time. Just a view of some of the existing conditions within the community. This is the crossing of Haynes Creek, where the tide will go. The road will be raised. Tide gate will go in this location. The road will be raised, and the tide gate will function during major storm surge and rainfall events. Street interventions, as I've mentioned, will store storm water, which then will be pumped out through the Ballantyne pump station, but also include the aesthetics and serve as traffic calming within the community. And lastly, the stormwater park that I touched on, the major new community amenity with sports fields and playgrounds, informational areas, stormwater detention in this location here, and just some nice overview of the natural systems that will be recreated in this area. Just a schematic of what that will look like. So in summary, perimeter shore protection of around 8,000 linear feet, that occurs in the form of earthen berms and seawalls, one tide gate, two pump stations, street-side stormwater treatments of about 2 acres, oyster reefs of 3.5 acres, living shoreline creating 1.36 acres of new tidal marsh fringe around the community, created wetland areas of 1.5 acres, 2,500 linear feet of raised roads, and a variety of community amenities. We feel real fortunate to have been a part of this design process. We feel like it's particularly elegant combination of a variety of methods to handle resiliency, and as Scott mentioned, really serve as an example for other communities in Tidewater and really around the country.
Very good presentation. Any questions? Ms. Everett.
Yes. I'd like to commend you, too. I'm really excited to see the project come together, all the green infrastructure and bioretention. So it's really exciting to see. And thank you, Mr. Hawkins, for highlighting this project. I guess just two quick questions. One is the stormwater park, the baseball field. Is that so? That's a recreational amenity kind of adjacent to more capacity and bioretention, or is it two in one? Will that field, for example, serve as flood capacity when not in use or when needed?
It will serve as flood capacity, but it also will have a drainage system in it that goes to new stormwater detention facilities. So it will be allowed to drain out. In some projects, the fields are actually allowed to flood. This will be able to flood, but it also has enhanced drainage to get it to storage facilities.
Okay, great. And then the second question is for the upstream of Haynes Creek, where you are using the tide gate to hold runoff, is there capacity within that system or is it created capacity?
There is enhanced capacity within the system. The perimeter of Haynes Creek is fairly low right now. The berm feature that you saw around the majority of the perimeter of the community will be at elevation 11. Within Haynes Creek, the elevation of that berm was dropped to +5. And that limited encroachment on the private residences around the community also limited the wetland impacts within that system. And then the pump system is what is kicked on when that elevation is approached.
Okay, great. And that sends it to the bioretention areas?
That sends it out to the Eastman branch.
Thank you so much.
Further questions? Mr. Tankard.
I just had a question on the pump station. Will there be any filtering of debris, litter, et cetera, or is that going to be pumped with the water out?
There'll be screening on the
yes, there'll be track drives at the intakes to the pump station to filter out the float pools.
Hope so.
Larger debris that gets through the storm system.
Correct. I guess the question I've got is, from a mitigation perspective, how many years or how, I guess, how effective is this going to be against sea level rise in terms of duration, as far as how many years based on elevation do you think is we're going to get out of this?
At the end of the transitional planting zone,
right,
is it plus five?
Okay.
So it allows for 2.5 feet of sea level rise by the year 2065.
Okay.
And then there's still about a foot left that it can continue to migrate up before it hits that slope break of the berm.
Great. Further questions? Well, I think you can see, I know this is very, very important to Governor Northam's administration, Secretary Strickler, Living Shorelines, and I know to our friends. Very, very commendable. But also you can see it takes a lot of money to do a given area. And I'm not going to say a small area, it's not, but it is a lot of money to improve these areas that we've got significant concern with. So you know, it's just one of those things. But you're to be commended. I hope this is a model, not just for here, but up and down the East Coast and those other cities that have significant issues. Anyone that's read the book on Tangier called Chesapeake Requiem knows that, or heard Earl Swift speak about the problems and concerns that we have all up and down the East Coast, where very difficult decisions are going to have to be made as to who receives funding, who doesn't receive funding, when there's a limited amount of funding. So you're to be commended for getting the funding for this, and the project is well done, and maybe we can go over there and see it one day because I'd like to take a look. It'd be kind of cool. Any other questions?
I'd just like to add,
yes, ma'am.
To your point, it being a model, the City of Hampton's now looking at innovative projects as well. They're going through a number of kind of design charrette today in the month, so I think this information might be helpful to guide them as well.
Okay. Further questions, comments? This is a public hearing. Is anyone else in support of the project? Anyone in opposition to the project? There being none, the matters before the commission.
A couple questions of staff.
Dr. Neal.
I'm assuming staff is recommending approval, if
yes,
not
sir.
Stated in the. All right.
Yes, sir.
All right. And exactly what are we approving?
As Neville showed you, it's those portions of the project that extend out beyond the existing mean low water line. That's portions of the berm and the living shoreline, the sills, the fill associated with those sills, and then there's the shelling of the. Oyster areas.
The community pier would be a separate issue?
The community pier should
staff.
Be part of this. That's that. I'd like to add that to the record, that it also includes the community pier.
Rachel, anything else? Okay.
Thank you.
Great. The matter's before the commission. Dr. Neal.
Move that we approve the project as presented.
Motion made by Dr. Neal. Is there a second to the motion? Second by Ms. Everett. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all very much. Much appreciated. Do y'all need to get your presentation just like downloaded or we good to go?